You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Bounce. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Bounce. Mozart, Federer, Picasso, Beckham, and the Science of Success by Matthew Syed. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Now think about how often you have heard people dismiss their own potential with statements like, I am not a natural linguist, or I don't have the brain for numbers, or I lack the coordination for sports. Where is the evidence for such pessimism? Often it is based upon nothing more than a few weeks or a few months of half-hearted effort. What the science is telling us is that many thousands of hours of practice are necessary to break into the realm of excellence. Before going on, it's worth emphasizing something about the upcoming chapters. The truth of the arguments will have urgent implications for the way we choose to live our lives. If we believe that attaining excellence hinges on talent, we are likely to give up if we show insufficient early promise. And this will be perfectly rational, given the premise. If, on the other hand, we believe that talent is not, or only marginally, implicated in our future achievements, we are likely to persevere. Moreover, we will be inclined to move heaven and earth to get the right opportunities for ourselves and our families, the right teacher, access to decent facilities, the entire coalition of factors that lead us to the top. And if we are right, we will eventually excel. What we decide about the nature of talent, then, could scarcely be more important. End quote. Matthew Syed from Bounce. So what do you think about excellence? Do you think it's primarily driven by natural, inborn talent? Or do you think that it's primarily driven by effort? It's a very important decision that has a broad impact on how we show up. So let's choose wisely. Hint, think effort. Matthew Syed is a brilliant award-winning writer who also happens to be a former Olympic table tennis player, the top-ranked English player for a decade. He brings his big brain and high-level sports experience to this book, helping us understand, as the subtitle suggests, Mozart, Federer, Picasso, Beckham, and the Science of Success. It's a fascinating, quick-reading book at how greatness really grows. I read it in a day after finishing Syed's newest book, Black Box Thinking, the day before. So if you're into this kind of thing, being the theme of how talent is grown, I've got a link, by the way, to all the notes we have on the subject. I think you'll love this book if you're into exploring these ideas further. This book is packed with big ideas, and I'm excited to share some of my favorites we can apply today, so let's jump straight in. First big idea, combinatorial explosion. Quote, the best way to explain the strange power of combinatorial explosion is to imagine folding a piece of paper in two, making the paper twice as thick. Now, repeat the process 100 times. How thick is the paper now? Most people tend to guess in the range of a few inches to a few yards. In fact, the thickness would stretch 800,000 billion times the distance from Earth to the Sun. End quote. Combinatorial explosion. It's similar to the final big idea we explored in Black Box Thinking, in which we looked at the incalculable potency of the evolutionary mechanism. In that book, Syed tells us, throughout the book, we have looked at other techniques such as marginal gains and the lean startup. But the point about all these methods is that they harness the incalculable potency of the evolutionary mechanism. Providing they are used with an eye to context and are fused with a growth-oriented mindset, they set the stage for an endlessly powerful process, cumulative adaptation. End quote. Now, this is the essence of how extraordinary performance grows, through a rigorous, vigorous, total immersion in a field that leads to tiny improvements compounded over an extended period of time, and voila, greatness. That's very different than the notion that magic fairy dust is sprinkled on a baby and voila, greatness. And that's very exciting for us because whether we aspire to world-class performance or simply aspire to create a little more happiness in our lives, we can do it via our diligent, patient, and persistent efforts. Let's explore some key ideas on how to do it. That leads us to purposeful practice. Quote, when most people practice, they focus on the things they can do effortlessly, Erickson said. Expert practice is different. It entails considerable, specific, and sustained efforts to do something you can't do well or even at all. Research across domains shows that it is only by working at what you can't do that you turn into the expert you want to become. Syed continues, saying Erickson calls it deliberate practice to distinguish it from what most of the rest of us get up to. I am going to call it purposeful practice. Why? Because the practice sessions of aspiring champions have a specific and never-changing purpose, progress. Every second of every minute of every hour, the goal is to extend one's mind and body, to push oneself beyond the outer limits of one's capacities, to engage so deeply in the task that one leaves the training session literally a changed person. End quote. Call it deliberate practice or purposeful practice or whatever you'd like. The key? We need to stretch ourselves beyond our current abilities and remember the fact that, quote, it is only by working at what you can't do that you turn into the expert you want to become. We touch on this in all the related notes. Again, I've got another link to all the notes on the same subject. In The Rise of Superman, Stephen Kotler tells us the magic number is 4%. He says, quote, and that brings us back to the challenge-skill ratio, the last of our internal flow triggers, and arguably the most important. The idea behind this trigger is that attention is most engaged, i.e. in the now, when there's a very specific relationship between the difficulty of a task and our ability to perform that task. If the challenge is too great, fear swamps the system. If the challenge is too easy, we stop paying attention. Flow appears near the emotional midpoint between boredom and anxiety, in what scientists call the flow channel, the spot where the task is hard enough to make us stretch, but not hard enough to make us snap. Kotler continues by saying, how hard is that? The answers vary, but the general thinking is about 4%. That's it. That's the sweet spot. If you want to trigger flow, the challenge should be 4% greater than the skills. In technical terms, the sweet spot is the end result of what's known as the Yerkes-Dodson law. The fact that increased stress leads to increased performance up to a certain intensity, beyond which performance levels off or declines. In real-world terms, it's not much at all. End quote. Now, in The Mindful Athlete, George Mumford tells us, quote, moving out of your comfort zone through experiencing eustress is a continuous incremental process of romancing your discomfort zone. It's not like you get to a certain level and then stay there. Things are always either going forward or backward. They're not staying static. If you are comfortable where you are and you just want to stay comfortable, that's fine. But that isn't the way to pursue excellence and wisdom. End quote. And finally, Syed tells us, quote, world-class performance comes by striving for a target just out of reach, but with a vivid awareness of how the gap might be breached. Over time, through constant repetition and deep concentration, the gap will disappear, only for a new target to be created, just out of reach once again. Focus on you. Are you stretching? How can you do that a little bit more today? Next big idea, logic plus math plus 1 million balls. Quote, the arduous logic of sporting success has perhaps been most eloquently articulated by Andre Agassi. Reliving his early years in tennis in his autobiography, Open, he wrote, my father says that if I hit 2,500 balls each day, I'll hit 17,500 balls each week, and at the end of the year, I'll have hit nearly 1 million balls. He believes in math. Numbers, he says, don't lie. A child who hits 1 million balls each year will be unbeatable. Syed continues by saying, what does all this tell us? It tells us that if you want to bend it like Beckham or fade it like Tiger, you have to work like crazy, regardless of your genes, background, creed, or color. There is no shortcut, even if child prodigies bewitch us into thinking there is. End quote. 1 million balls accumulated day in and day out, one shot at a time. Pause for a moment and think about that. It reminds me of Mumford from The Mindful Athlete again. He tells us, quote, every high-performing mindful athlete knows that if you want to achieve something, there's a good chance that you can, no matter what, if, and this is a big if, you're willing to pay the price. You not only have to focus on your intention, but you also have to be willing to get up early in the morning and do the same thing thousands and thousands of times, and then another thousand times with intention, which leads me to deliberate practice. He continues by saying, when I worked with Kobe Bryant, he was making about 1,300 three-pointers a day in the offseason when he was working on his three-point shot, end quote. I love the math of practice. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Whether we want to master tennis or optimal living, it's all about repetition. As Dan Coyle tells us in The Little Book of Talent, see those notes, repetition has a bad reputation. We tend to think of it as dull and uninspiring, but this perception is titanically wrong. Repetition is the single most powerful lever we have to improve skills, because it uses the built-in mechanism for making the wires of our brains faster and more accurate. So, how's your practice? What can you put a few more reps into? 1 million balls. Crazy. Next big idea, chess prodigies plus the iceberg illusion. Quote, the tale of the Pulgar sisters provides scintillating evidence for the practice theory of excellence. Pulgar had publicly declared that his yet-to-be-born children would become world beaters, setting himself up for a fall in the time-honored tradition of science, and had been proved right. His girls lived up to the pre-birth hype and then some. Note also the public reaction to the girls' success. When Susan stormed to victory in a local competition at the age of 5, everyone present was convinced that this was a consequence of unique talent. She was described by the local newspaper as a prodigy, and Pulgar remembers being congratulated by another parent on having a daughter with such amazing talent. That is not something my little Olga could do, the parent said. But this is the iceberg illusion. Onlookers took the performance to be the consequence of special abilities because they had witnessed only a tiny percentage of the activity that had gone into its making. As Pulgar puts it, quote, if they had seen the painfully slow progress, the inch-by-inch improvements, they would not have been so quick to call Susan a prodigy, end quote. Laszlo Pulgar is a fascinating human being. Syed tells us that Laszlo was one of the earliest advocates of the practice theory of expertise. As an educational psychologist in communist Hungary, he found a woman from the Ukraine who was excited to help him run a grand experiment to see if they could deliberately create a prodigy. The domain? Chess. Although he was only a hobby player and his wife had no background in the game, they figured it was perfect because the chess ranking system provided such an objective measure of excellence to test his theory. You were either the best or you weren't. Enter three girls, each trained rigorously in the game. And enter absolute world domination. The oldest, Susan, became the top-rated female player in the world and the first woman ever to become a grandmaster. The middle sister, Sophia, was also a young champion and once won 8 straight games against many of the world's greatest male players, which one chess expert ranked as a top 5 moment in chess history. The youngest sister, Judith, became the youngest grandmaster ever, male or female, and she's been the top-ranked female player in the world for a decade, minus the time she had a son, during which time her sister took her spot. Syed tells us she is universally considered the greatest female player ever. How's that for a test of the practice theory of excellence / greatness? That's part one of this big idea. Part two, the iceberg illusion. As Laszlo's 5-year-old daughter was winning all her games in her first match against older players, the other parents could only see the tip of the iceberg, her performance that day, and thought, wow, a natural genius, remarkable, how lucky. What they missed was the enormous amount of effort that went on under the surface. It wasn't natural talent, it was a ton of systematic, deliberate, purposeful practice. So, the next time you see someone performing in a mesmerizingly awesome way, remember, you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. Look a little deeper, and you'll see that tip is connected to a huge base of practice. P.S. This story parallels Mozart's genius. As we've discussed before, I've got a link to Talent is Overrated by Jeff Colvin, the notes on that book. Mozart's father literally wrote the book on how to teach kids music. Young Mozart dazzled at a super young age. Iceberg! And he'd put in more practice time before he was 10 than we can possibly imagine. P.P.S. here. Syed tells us the parallel stories of Tiger Woods and the Williams sisters as well. He jokes that Tiger put in more practice time by the age of 5 than most golfers ever put in. Next big idea, sparks plus growth mindsets. Quote, a growth mindset is perfectly suited to the achievement of excellence, a fixed mindset to the achievement of mediocrity. Even if the sparks that ignite us are sometimes enigmatic, lost in the deep and unfathomable mysteries of the mind, one thing is certain. If your chosen destination is within the domain of excellence, you'd better have a growth mindset. Why? Because a spark ignited within a fixed mindset is likely to be extinguished at the first sign of failure. End quote. So it's one thing to get a spark of inspiration. It's an entirely different thing to sustain that inspiration through the inevitable ups and downs and repeated failures on the journey. Here's what we need to know. You simply can't do that with a fixed mindset, period. We must have a growth mindset. We must know that we can get better and that the only way we will is if we lean into our fears and failures and approach it all like the experimenter we talk about all the time. See the notes on Carol Dweck's mindset for more here. For now, how's your mindset? What can you do to optimize it? Next big idea, double think in action. Quote, anyone who has read George Orwell's 1984 will find this idea curiously familiar. In that remarkably perceptive novel, Orwell introduces the term double think, which he describes as follows. Double think means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously, and accepting both of them. To forget any fact that has become inconvenient, and then, when it becomes necessary again, to draw it back from oblivion for just so long as it is needed. All this is indispensably necessary. All right, that was George Orwell. Now back to Syed, who says, at the time of publication of 1984, many critics argued that doublethink was psychologically implausible, but it is, in fact, commonplace. Doublethink is essential to the success of leading athletes and other top performers. Nick Faldo, the 6-time major winner, made precisely this point when I interviewed him at the Open Championship in 2008. He said, you have to be very calculating in selecting the right shot. You have to make a decision based upon a realistic assessment of your own weaknesses and the scope of failure. But once you have committed to your decision, you have to flick the mental switch and execute the shot, as if there was never any doubt that you would nail it. Syed tells us, this is doublethink in action, end quote. Doublethink. The ability to hold two contradictory beliefs in your mind simultaneously, while accepting both of them and knowing when to bring the right one to the surface while casting the other aside. Syed tells us great performers can think uber-rationally about the right course of action and once they've decided, they can think uber irrationally / optimistically that success is hashtag done. Reminds me of Nassim Taleb's anti-fragile barbell strategy. I've got a link to the micro class on that, where we're simultaneously super conservative and super aggressive. Double think. Although not easy to do, it's a skill worth building. And now for the final and most important big idea, everyone has the capacity for excellence. Quote, he, Laszlo Pulgar, was not, of course, suggesting that all children should be put through 10,000 hours of rigorous, highly specific training before their 16th birthday. Rather, he was saying that the application of purposeful practice, even in a modest way, can enable countless individuals to realize untapped potential. He was suggesting that everyone has the capacity for excellence with the right opportunities and training, end quote. All right, so back to our friend Laszlo here to restate an important point. When I share the whole 10,000 hours to world-class awesome stories, I often get one of two types of responses. The first, from the usually young and always uber ambitious, yes, all caps, let's do this, all caps. And the second type of response, from the usually a little slash a lot older and usually not quite as let's do this ambitious, who say, really? 10,000 hours? Seriously? So I love the distinction Syed makes here. The point of the Polgar sisters in all of our incessant chat about practice is not that we can slash should all put ourselves and our children through super crazy awesome training regimens to become the next big world-beating thing. Unless that's your thing, of course. It's to remember the scientific fact that excellence is cultivated via attention and deliberate, consistent practice over an extended period of time. That's exhilarating because we can all achieve a deeper level of mastery in whatever we commit our energy to. Whether that's creating a better relationship or a little more meaning or fill-in-the-blank aspiration. So here's to cultivating excellence in whatever style floats your boat as we bounce our ways to optimizing and actualizing. That's a quick look at Bounce. Matthew Syed is a two-time Olympian and a graduate of Oxford University. He's also a columnist for The Times in London, a commentator for BBC, and the recipient of the British Press Award for Sports Journalist of the Year, and was named British Sports Feature Writer of the Year by the Sports Journalists Association. Learn more about Matthew at matthewsyed.co.uk. If you enjoyed this note, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on Black Box Thinking, his other book, his newest book, and then Talent is Overrated, Mindset, the Talent Code, and The Little Book of Talent. We've got links to all those. Now, for some quotes from the sidebar. These are all from Matthew Syed. He tells us, but there is a catch. You can purchase access to this prime neural real estate only by building up a bank deposit of thousands of hours of purposeful practice. That, if you like, is the price of excellence. Excellence is about stepping outside the comfort zone, training with a spirit of endeavor, and accepting the inevitability of trials and tribulations. Progress is built, in effect, upon the foundations of necessary failure. That is the essential paradox of expert performance. Syed tells us, Beckham concurs. My secret is practice, he said. I have always believed that if you want to achieve anything special in life, you have to work, work, and then work some more. The illusion of talent arises because we only see a tiny proportion of the work that goes into the construction of virtuosity. If we were to examine the incalculable hours of practice, the thousands of baby steps taken by world-class performers to get to the top, the skills would not seem quite so mystical or so inborn. And finally, the talent theory of expertise is not merely flawed in theory, it is insidious in practice, robbing individuals and institutions of the motivation to change themselves and society. There you go. Bounce. The true look at success. What do you think about success and excellence? Hopefully, I've convinced you through this note and all the others we come back to again and again and again that we can all improve and that greatness and peak performance and excellence and happiness and all the things we want to create more of in our lives are a function of arduous effort, not good fortune or luck or fairy dust sprinkled on our DNA. What was your favorite big idea? How are you going to make that a bigger part of your life? Get on that. I look forward to sharing more. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.